Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Here's a brief but annoying message to let you know that you could have first heard this episode 9 months ago if you were a subscriber to our Iron Filing Society Patreon offering.
For the price of a pint and a St. Clement's each month, you can get up to 4 episodes a week, 9 months before the rest of the world gets them. Early access to regular episodes, lots of other marvellous benefits, and there's absolutely no adverts or brief but annoying messages like this that will get right on your tits.
Find out more and subscribe now at tftimemachine.com/ironfilings.
Here we go, here we go, here we go, here we go, this is it!
This is Top Flight Time Machine. I am Andy Hotbody Dawson. Pow, pow, pow.
I'm Sir Nifty Delaney, so what?
Welcome along, if you will, to the Melchester Odyssey. Excuse me, just clear my throat there. I have in my left hand the 11th of August 1984 issue of Roy of the Rovers. It tells us who the sign please victim is.
And it is. In the middle pages this week. It's a doozy, as they say.
It's a beaut.
It's a fucking beaut.
Jesper Olsen.
Yeah, Jesper Olsen.
One of the first intake of continental players into the top
five. I was so delighted to have been reminded the other day of Jesper Olsen. Because it was Big Ron, and he was posing with three new signings. One was Jesper Olsen. I think one might have been Strachan, and one was Alan Brazil.
Right.
And we talked about Alan Brazil last week, signing for Manchester United, and it was sort of something that we didn't quite have any memory of. And I found out that he did sign for them. It seemed preposterous to me that he'd signed for them in about 1983 or 1984, at the same time as Strachan and Jesper Olsen.
This must have been Big Ron's tilt at the title.
Yeah, which at the time, it would have seemed quite legit, actually. You would have thought Strachan at the time is a big star from a very successful Aberdeen side, right? Jesper Olsen, really exciting. I think the Danish team, Danish Dynamite, although it wasn't quite at the peak it reached in 86, it was already, people were aware of Danish football suddenly becoming a thing in the mid-80s. And then Alan Brazil is well-established European goal scorer with Ipswich Town, right?
Exactly. Yeah, it would have looked. I think, was this not the season when they came out of the blocks and won their first 10 league games or something? It looked like they were going to finally win the league.
Yeah,
there was
one
season
away
when that happened and it fell apart.
Yeah.
And then Ron got, I think, another season, and then they got the sack, and then it was Brian Ferguson, and then that took years to work out. I'm trying to figure out where. Olsen came from Ajax, so he was well established.
Yeah. Oh, I found it tremendously exciting, Jesper Olsen at Manchester United, because it was just so rare to have a foreign player, and he was a winger, so he had all sorts of fanciful foreign tricks up his sleeve, didn't they?
They paid £350,000 for him, which is a fair bit back then, I guess.
Yeah.
But not loads. It's a decent signing, decent fee. And he replaced Arnold Muren, who got Manchester United from Ipswich, and that hadn't really worked out for them. It was the 85-86 season when they won their first 10 league games.
Oh, yeah, that was when West Ham ended up nearly winning the league. And United, I think, came fourth or fifth in the end.
Mm. Yeah, they did for fourth. Yeah. Mm. And Olsen in this, I'll show you the picture, Sam, so I didn't send it over to you. He's holding up a copy of Roy the Rovers.
Look at the lad. Great lad. What's Olsen up to now, mate? I think we ought to find out. I think it would be rude for us not to tell the listeners.
He has maintained a low profile since his retirement.
Yeah.
And he now lives in Victoria,
Australia. Well, we always respect that. Someone who's sort of partially withdrawn from public life.
The king of that, of course, being David Batty, who's completely vanished from the face of the
earth. Well, that's where he is.
Good for him. In 2003, Olsen founded and commenced operating the Fun Football Group in Australia. There's no mention of what that is, but it sounds like fun. The Fun Football Group became part of the Football Start Academy in 2011. Looks like he's still involved in that. So, very nice. Just ticking over. Very good. Very good.
He's happy.
Nice work.
I'm surprised he's in Australia, yeah, though. If I was a Danish native, I'd be in Denmark. But
I don't know. Australia seems like a good place to live.
Australia's a good place to live. Yeah, maybe I'll do it the old Australia in the winter months and Denmark in the summer months, probably, yeah.
There's I've got a mate who's on Twitter called Harry Flowers.
Oh, yeah.
He went to Australia and he emigrated down there about 6-7 years ago. And he was working in London. I think he was working for a hire car company and he was just sick of everything.
Yeah.
And he hooked up with a former old flame and they got together and he'd moved to Australia.
Legit.
And now he's got a van delivery thing that he self-employed van delivery. He just goes round with his dog in the passenger seat and he delivers stuff.
Lovely.
In the fucking lovely weather. He's living the just rest lifestyle.
Yeah, I know a few people who've moved to Australia. I've got a cousin who pretty close to. She moved there a couple of years ago. She married an Australian guy and they've been living in London, a couple of kids, and you know, it's a struggle living in London, especially now. And he just was like, he was from Australia, he's from Melbourne, and he was like, look, fuck's sake, we could be doing the same sort of work but over there in a bigger house with a fucking swimming pool and our kids could be playing on the beach and stuff, you know. So they went there.
Christian O'Connell's down there.
He's written a great book about his move to, it's a book about various things. It's sort of mental health, but really, but a lot of it focuses on his move to Melbourne. And there's I might have talked about, like, one of my favourite bits in the book is he's struggling to make friends. And he's writing about how it's harder for a bloke to make friends than a woman, right? And he said that, like, they brought their dog over, all the way over, right, with them. And his wife got an immediate circle of mates just by being down the park walking the dog, which is something I've noticed since I've had a dog, is you do get chatting to a lot of people and it's like opens up a whole new circle. But it felt easier for her. And he was like working every day doing his radio show and he didn't have, you know, he was struggling to have any mates to hang out with. And his wife became quite sort of overly encouraging and was trying to set up play dates for him with her new mate's husbands. And it was like pissing him off. But he said to her, he did meet one guy who was an Uber driver. He, every time he called no Uber, it seemed like the same driver came, right? So he started having quite good chats with the driver, like, oh, just moved into the area, what's good, and all of that. And they got on quite well. And he mentioned, he said, I have been getting on quite well with the Uber driver. And she went, well, that's nice. Like that. Well, why don't you? And he went, no, she, come on, like, it's just an Uber driver chat. It's not like, you can't take it beyond the Uber. You can't make it a social thing. And she went, I don't see why not. She was doing all that stuff, you know. And then one day they got an Uber home, and sure enough, it was him, matey boy, right? And they were chatting. He went, oh, good to see you. And they were having a chat, and he was going, oh, you know, you can meet my wife, blah, blah, blah. And it was going really well. When they got out of the cab, the wife, Chris Sherkill's wife, was going to him, ask him, doing all that. And he's going, shut up. Like that. He's going, go on, ask him. So in the end, he goes, she pressured him into it. And he went, hey, mate, I was going to say, if you're not too busy, do you fancy getting a pizza sometime? In the moment, he doesn't know why he said get a pizza, right? He just said, we could get a pizza or something, right? And he said that was almost, there was something strangely creepy that you can't quite put your finger on, saying to another man, let's get a pizza sometime. Not a beer, not even a coffee.
Yeah, pizza.
A pizza.
A whole pizza.
Very, very specific. Let's get a pizza. And the bloke was just weirded out. And I think Chris O'Connell handed him a small piece of paper with his phone number on it. And he never saw him again.
Yeah.
So that's the only problem there.
He should have booked the Uber. And then, well, if it was going to be that guy, when you can see who it's going to be, just change the location to just where you were to start with, and then just sit in the car and just have a chat with the meter running, I suppose. To work towards that pizza dish.
Do you know what I call that? A chat prostitute.
Yeah, exactly.
A chat. Yeah. A chat prostitute.
And then you try and go to the pizza level, and he's like, "No, sorry, sir, this is purely a business."
No, that's the full girlfriend experience. If you want to have a pizza,
No, don't do that.
And I wouldn't tell Uber, who are effectively my pimps. We'd have to do that off the books, and it would cost you a lot of money.
$750 minimum.
It's a bit like, you hear of these pop stars or film stars, don't you, who for like huge sums will provide an escort service to a to like perhaps an Arab sheikh.
You hear about that.
You can hear about that. It's like, and that's the same with Uber drivers. They will do it, but they want it off the books. They don't want Uber knowing, because it's against Uber policy. But they will meet with you socially, but you have to be like putting huge sums probably of cash on the table if you want them to actually leave the car and sit with you in a restaurant or a coffee shop like a Costa Coffee and have a latte with you.
It's complicated, isn't it? You can misread the signals, can't you?
I think that's what I'm doing. But Australia, the West Ham podcast that I listen to, and I'm sort of like, in partnership with, they've gone out, they run the whole thing through Patreon, more than us, they do it, it's 100% on Patreon, and West Ham are on tour in Australia at the moment. In fact, as we speak, we are in Perth. West Ham are playing Tottenham, and are 2-0 up, which is very exciting. Oh, wow. I would have been watching it, but the club, sent an exclusive link through and said, "Hi Sam, congratulations. As a club member and season ticket holder, here's your exclusive link to watch live stream of our game in Perth this morning against London rivals Tottenham Hotspur." I thought, "Oh, that's nice." Click on the link. Yeah, it's £5, cunt. I was like, "What?" Yeah, it's £5. And don't try and watch it on a Moody link. We've had them all shut down and all.
Yeah.
We've grassed everyone who's doing a Moody link, so they're getting a knock on the door, and you're paying us a fiver to watch this fucking friendly, cunt. All the best.
Saturday night.
David Sullivan and Karen Brady.
Yeah. And the ghost of David Gold.
Yeah. I was talking to my cousin at the weekend, and he went, "Do you think that David Moyes, when he was struggling to keep his job, because he was right on the edge last season, right on the edge, and pretty much most West Ham fans had had enough and were like, yeah, he's got to go." And when it looked like it was being reported that they were already speaking to potential successors and stuff like that, David Gold passed away, which was very sad. Of the three amigos who effectively run West Ham, he was by a mile the most popular and likeable. He was like a nice... He was like a nice old man, a nice old uncle. I mean, who had made a huge sum of money from pornography, but...
A pornographer.
So what? I mean, pornography is a legitimate business to be in, isn't it? He didn't do anything to you. Anyway, he was all right, David Gold, and he died. And my cousin, who's a gooner, went, "Do you think that that might have saved David Moyes?" And I was like, "I fucking know it did." And what's ironic is that his biggest supporter on the board was David Gold. David Gold was the one who pushed for Moyes both times we signed him. They had a good personal relationship. He really liked him. He always spoke up for him. But I'll tell you this, right? Moyes prides himself on being the Premier League's great survivor. I think he's got more games under his belt than any other existing Premier League manager. And he always says, when he's accused of being cautious or negative in his tactics, he kind of says, "Yeah, I am, but that's why I'm still here. I'm a survivor. I know how to survive, and I don't take chances," right? And he's proud of it.
No, we'll survive.
It doesn't always survive that. But,
okay.
But I said, he had this special sort of bond with David Gold, but he was like, he was a gnat's pube away from getting axed before David Gold died, right? And I said, I fucking guarantee when that news came through, Moise's reaction would have, yeah, beauty!
Back on that net!
Yeah, absolute beauty, Goldie! Once again, you've done
good
what's
work,
needed.
Big man.
Moise, the great survivor! Unlike you, Goldie, but you did it. You died, you sacrificed yourself just like Jesus Christ on the cross. You did it for a higher cause, yeah, little beauty, yeah. So yeah.
Anyway, hey, come
let's
on,
get back to Royal Rovers.
Let's get into this Royal Rovers thing. From Paige, it's like every episode we do 15 minutes of other stuff, and then do Royal Rovers. Oh, we're still in the six-a-side tournament. It looks like the same front cover as last week, but I know it's not because we didn't have Jesper Olsen last week. Roy Race, player-manager of Melchester Rovers, had finally convinced Carford City's brilliant midfield player, Carl Hunt, that Carl wasn't responsible for an incident which had almost wrecked the career of another player, which, of course, was Les Anderson, who turned up to make amends with Carl Hunt last week on his crutches. And now, in the final of the six-a-side tournament, with Melchester winning 2-0, this is the 11th of August, this is going out, and this fucking tournament's still on. The season's about to begin. Hell's teeth. Carl Hunter is slaloming through some Melchester players, one of whom is Blackie Gray, and a fan shouts, "Wahoo! The Hunter," in inverted commas, "has got it together again. He's playing with the ruthless power that made him one of the most feared players in Europe," says another. But not so fast. Here comes Roy to fucking take the ball off him. Hunt goes to ground. Oomph! We just got to do an oomph t-shirt, haven't we, Shuley? Couple of letters.
Yeah. And I do all this. I'm going to put some time into doing... I've got a list somewhere of all the t-shirts.
Holiday season soon.
Yes, exactly.
It's going. That's where people wear t-shirts.
So how do you spell it again?
Here, it's N-N-N-N-N. Yeah. Five N's and an F. And then an exclamation mark, all capitals.
Okay, yeah. I'll do that later.
I hope there'll be no kind of crossover with the National Front. There's too many N's there for that.
Oh, yeah. National Front. That's like the real IRA. It's like we're like the National Front, but we're even more national than them.
Continuity.
Imagine the National Front times five. That's us.
Just put in brackets underneath in small, not affiliated with the National Front.
Not racist.
In any way. So, yeah. Oomph. But Roy Race isn't frightened of him. You don't really think of Roy as being a ball winner, do you? A tackler.
No.
You don't see him do much of that, but he's done it here.
Well, a lot of the time I think Roy's attitude is, I'm not getting my hands dirty with that kind of crap. That's what I've got Vic Guthrie and Duncan McKay for. But
yeah,
I am when it boils down to it, I am stronger and harder than anyone else. So if I have to, have to mix it up, I will. I just choose not to.
And it's six aside, so there's more scope for him to have to do that, I suppose. Even as the fans were applauding Roy's tackle, "I don't believe it. Hunt's recovered," and Hunt from he's sitting on his arse on the six-a-side court, and he has stolen the ball from Roy and at the same time took a shot, and it's gone past Charlie Carter and it's gone in. Look at that.
Carter, oh, it's a sliding tackle come shot.
Yeah,
it's a fucking mess of a goal, to be honest.
Hunt has just completely done Roy in the same way that Roy's done him. He's just trumped him.
That's the noise he made as it went in.
Good noise. "I don't believe it. Hunt's recovered and managed to get in a shot. It's there. Charlie Carter wasn't expecting it."
It says, "It's there."
Yeah.
I'm writing that down as well.
Yeah. Nah, that's not strong enough for a t-shirt.
It's there. I think that's 1, 2, 3, 4 E's.
I wouldn't buy that one.
It's there!
Sorry, I wouldn't buy it.
All right.
Put it at the bottom.
Remember, all I'm saying is, I'm not saying that, you know, your instincts aren't right, but you're the man who swore no one would ever buy a local knobhead T-shirt, and it became one of our best sellers ever.
True. But what does that say about our listeners rather than my judgment?
Well, it means you don't judge them properly.
Yeah, I'll judge them higher than I should.
Yeah. The amount of people who turn up at our live shows wearing local knobhead t-shirts with massive smiles on their faces never ceases to amaze me.
But is that the only time they wear them, though?
I don't know. Sure. I'd love to think they just wore them walking around, walking the streets of their local neighbourhoods.
It's safer than a local hardman t-shirt. That's just going to attract attention.
Yeah,
and
it sounds
aggression.
Like a challenge, doesn't it?
Yeah. Anyway, back to this. Melchester 2, Carford 1. Sorry, Roy, says Charlie Carter. Forget it, Charlie. There aren't many players in the world could score a goal like that. Vic Guthrie says, it's your fault for bringing him back to life, Roy. Bringing him back to life like a revived bee, which is essentially what happened. The video he showed him in the introduction of Les Anderson was sugar water to the dying bee that was Carford.
That's your sugar water. You're a fucking dying bee. And remember, just as I have given you sugar water, I can starve you of it too.
I can take it away again. I will stamp on you.
You just stung me, and you know what happens to a bee once it has stung someone. It folds itself up through its own arsehole and dies.
And disappears. Literally disappears up its own ass.
Its whole body is vacuumed into its own sphincter.
As the game wore on, Rovers are trying everything, but Hunt's dominating midfield. He's like a human barrier.
That's a really shit, lazy metaphor, isn't it? They must have been able to think of something better than that.
Jalapeño.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Jalapeño.
I mean, look, we get a close-up of these goons in the next frame. The Carford fans had mixed feelings about Carl's performance. Look at them. There's one of them there. It looks like in the middle, I don't know, he looks a bit like Mickey Dolenz at the Monkees. Some of them in caps.
No, I tell you, the one in the middle with the ginger hair looks like Ralph Mouth out of Happy Days.
Yeah. There's all manner of 70s and 80s hairstyles going on there and expressions. And what a motley crew. Carford fans had mixed feelings. This could be his last game for us. Melchester have already made an approach for him. Another one says, Roy Race wasn't keen, but now... And then another one shouts, Carl's going through again!
Shut up! Stop talking! Interruption! Alert!
Focus on the action!
Yeah.
And Carl is going through again, and he scores. Puts it through two Melchester defenders past Charlie Carter into the bottom corner. Yes! Hunt 2, Melchester 2.
Andy, you know how you don't like people talking when you're at a gig, right?
Yeah.
Gig camp. How do you feel about people talking all the way through the football?
That's all right, because I'm not listening to the football. That's true.
You have to listen to their conversation, though.
Well, yeah. It's annoying sometimes. It depends on who it is and what they're saying.
I often, just FYI, this won't surprise you, but I often talk all the way through the game.
Do
at
you?
West Ham.
Right.
Yeah. Non-stop.
Well, with you, though, Sam, I'm sure it's all interesting.
But to be fair, it's largely because watching football's quite boring. So I get bored and I need to talk to people to sort of liven things up, you know.
Mm. Well, there is that thing when I was a kid and I used to watch football a match of the day pretty much because there was never any live football on. It was great. And when you started going to watch Sunderland and you're nine or whatever, you just think, fuck, now this goes on a bit, doesn't it?
Oh, it feels so long when you first go. It feels so long.
Yeah.
And you're just like, oh, when can I have some sweets? Can I get some Can I get some fruit pastels at half time or something like that?
Yeah, you've got no concept that 90 minutes is as long as it is, especially if your team's not very good or they're losing.
You know what, though? I think it's like then sometimes you go to a game and the game's incredible. I remember going to a game, I think it was 98-5, 98-6, and West Ham played. It was one of my mates' birthdays, and it was sort of a thing where I had this little group of mates when I was at primary school, supported West Ham, and if it was anyone's birthday, the dad would take us, right? It'd be like a treat. And obviously not my dad, the other dad's. And it was someone's dad. It was someone's dad.
Oh, so Sam.
Very sad. And he might have fucking, I don't know, he might have taken us to Tottenham. It would have been a disaster. But we went to West Ham Man U. And Man U, maybe it was the tail end of that Atkinson era we were just talking about. But it was a very good Manchester United team with Brian Robson and Norman Whiteside, etc. Paul McGrath. You know, big fucking serious side. And we went 1-0 down to a Brian Robson goal and then we came back and beat them 2-1. And I kind of remember that as being the first time. I've been to West Ham lots of times before, but it was a bit like how you just described. I was like, it's not that match of the day. You have to watch the boring bits as well, right? Yeah. And you're kind of like, and you're there and you like being there for other reasons. Like you like being amongst the atmosphere and all the rest of it. And this was the first time I was at a 90-minute game. To be 1-0 down against the big side and then come back and beat the 2-1, it was very exciting, where you're just like fucking spellbound from beginning to end. Mm-hmm. And once you get that feeling, going to football becomes a bit like, I suppose, how fishermen think about fishing. Like, you go there and you're always waiting for a big catch. And you might go for a whole year and you don't get that big catch. But it's always worth going back because you're chasing that thrill. And that's what being a season ticket holder at your club is like. Because you go and week after week after week, you might have to watch really depressing shit. Even sometimes you win and it's still fucking boring. But then once in a while, you're always waiting for that big special one. And then once in a while, if you're lucky, once or twice a season, you get it. And it's all worthwhile, isn't it?
That's exactly it. That's why we keep going, because we like you said, we're chasing that hit.
Yeah, you're chasing the
first
hit.
It's just that hit of winning a match. And if you're in a relegation battle and you win a game, it makes it even more sweeter.
Yeah.
Because you probably even haven't played well then. You've just ground out a 1-0 or whatever.
Yeah, relegation battles are awesome. West Ham are definitely going to be in another one next season. I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, get stuck in. Well, of course, when Moyes was at Sunderland, he said it was a relegation battle in the second week of the season, which was a bit presumptive.
Moyes will be, I said this on the West Ham podcast yesterday, Moyes will be out of West Ham by November latest. You heard that here first, put your money on it now. It's a fucking banker. I don't have any inside knowledge. This is just my own analysis.
Oh,
Sam's done some analysis about football.
Samnalysis.
And now it's time for Samnalysis. When a new season kicks off, I want a regular item called Samnalysis, where I'll keep it short. I'll do a 10-second bit of analysis about something that's happening in the football world, okay?
Maybe just record it separately and put it on the IFS.
Yeah, or I'll write it up, maybe.
On your own.
Do you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to write out and I'm going to have one of those things where there's a picture of a football pitch with dots and lines on it. I'm going to do that, Andy.
Right. Yeah.
Dots and lines, dots and lines, dots and lines on my football pitch. Fucking hell.
Can we get through this Melchester thing? We're not even halfway through it yet. Hunt scored. It's 2-2. But one of the Melchester players had no intention of being overshadowed. Can you guess who it is? Yes, it's Roy Race. if the hunter could do it, so can the king. So, Roy's just took the ball. Give us the winner, Roy. There, he's got the ball. And he just fucking blasts it out of the goal. But it's saved by the Carford keeper. Oh, what a save. shouts one of the ball boys, who I think it's a ball boy, he's just stood on his own behind the goal. Best of the tournament. Hard luck, Racy. And then the keeper throws it out up into the other half. Watch it, Melchester. That's a great throw to Carl Hunt. Take him out, Vic Guthrie. But Guthrie doesn't, because Hunt does a delightful little flick. It bounces just up onto his foot and it does a delightful flick to the right-hand side. And then Vic Guthrie goes, oops. Like he's dropped a teacup or something. A delicate, masterful kick has left the Melchester super brat floundering. And Carford score. Fucking hell. It's there. 3-2. That flash of skill from the Hunter has given us the tournament trophy. They yell. And they have. Yeah, it has. Fucking hell. Melchester have lost. Which doesn't always happen. Well, I mean, apart from that time when Melchester did get relegated.
They did get relegated, didn't they?
And the fans are shouting, Carford, Carford, hooray! And Roy thinks to himself, ah, well, you can't win them all.
Fuck it.
Which is very, yeah.
Yeah. We're I don't even care. The league. I'm not bothered.
I'll tell you what I'll do. I wasn't going to buy Carl Hunt, but I'm going to buy him now out of spite.
Fucking buy him.
And then we'll fuck him in the league.
I'm going to buy him, and then I'm going to fucking bench the cunt and break his spirit, break his will to fucking live. I'm going to buy him, so, and then I'm going to deprive him of his sugar water.
A few days later, some newspaper headlines. Rovers hunt down Carl, and the Hunter signs for Melchester. So just as we thought... He's becoming a Melchester player. Over to the fourth page. Here we have the face of Alec Amore, the Rovers caretaker chairman. Says he was delighted. And he says to Roy, Hunt will really boost our European Cup Winners' Cup chances, Roy. What a season it's going to be.
Fuck off. Fuck off, Alec. You fucking spam-headed freak. Look at the state of you. You look like a fucking tin of spam that's been emptied out with a fucking syrup put on it.
Next question.
You silly bitch. Yeah, that's right. I call my own fucking acting chairman a silly bitch.
It is a man. Can you believe it?
That's something I've been developing for a while. I'm testing it out on him, and if it works, I'm going to roll it out.
I'm widening the insult bandwidth.
I'm going to roll this inside out. I like to test them on internal figures of so-called authority. and if it triggers them in the way that I'm hoping, I start to use it opponents, sometimes teammates, sometimes family members.
So, Roy is... Amor said, what a season it's going to be. Roy says, off the field as well as on it, if I'm any judge. And he says, when we announce the name of our new chairman, it's going to be headline news. Amor says, I still can't believe it's true, Roy. You did a fantastic job in persuading him to join the club. Close up of Roy's face. I wanted someone with the stature and charisma that a club like Melchester deserves. A very big name in the world of sport. Ooh, someone.
But crucially, not bigger than chairman. Me.
Yeah.
During this meeting.
Someone who will probably only put in 2 days a week and not overshadow me.
Were you going to say it's Jimmy Hill?
Well, we'll find out, won't we?
I reckon it's Jimmy Hill. That's who I would have got.
It feels like it could be. Bob Wilson. Oh, no, Bob Wilson signs for them, actually, doesn't he, in a year or two? Weird. The following day, as Rovers changed for a pre-season friendly match against close rivals Melbourne, Blackie Gray. Roy, this new chairman of ours, when are we going to meet him?
Is he nice, Roy? Or is he dead strict?
I hope he's dead strict, to be honest.
I like him when they're strict because it means I don't need to think as much.
I don't need to make my own decisions. Roy says, soon, in fact, I've arranged for him to put in an appearance today. And as they run out for this friendly against Melbourne, as a helicopter in the sky, Noel Baxter goes, what the?
What's that? It's not a plane or a bird. Oh! It's something else I've never seen before.
Oh, is there a war?
It's like the beginning of MASH when they do the song about suicide. I'm scared now.
Weird moments in pop history when that song Suicide is Painless got to number one in Britain in 1980.
So weird.
Mad.
I always remember that. It used to scare me, actually, MASH, because it would come on late or late for me. What sort of time?
It used to be on 9 p.m. BBC Two.
But then later in the 80s, when they were showing reruns of it all the time, did it come on later?
No, it was still 9. Might be 9.30, but okay. It was never...
Well, I always, as a small child, remember it being late. I mean, it probably was when I was small. That would have been...
It will have been at some point in your life.
Have been my bedtime or post-bedtime. And
Sam's bedtime.
Bedtime! Time for my bed.
Where's my sippy cup?
Deep dive bedtime.
Well, we'll do that. We've got some more one-off.
Well, not single issue
next. Single issue.
So bedtime is worth talking about. Anyway, it would be really scary because it was a really funny show. But the opening titles, that helicopter landing, and it even take away the song about suicide. It was like visually. It was sort of, there was something spooky, something creepy about it. This fucking helicopter land and people rushing around in a state of panic in a war-torn environment.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, oh, what the fuck?
He's being rushed into the hospital.
What the fuck's this?
Yeah.
And then like the opening like chords, really mournful. And I'm like there as a little kid in my gym jams with my sippy cup ready for bed. And I'm like, what's this, man? What's happening? And then they go, she goes, don't worry, it's actually a comedy. And I go, are you sure?
Yeah.
And then the lyrics kick in. Suicide is painless.
I don't think the lyrics were in the introduction.
What? Is it suicide?
I'm
killing yourself. Yeah, but don't worry, it's a comedy.
MASH Lampard, but I don't think Suicide is Painless was in the lyrics. I think it was only when it was released as a single.
You heard that, okay.
Yeah. But obviously it will have been in the public consciousness because of that.
Did the version they used on the TV show at the beginning or the end, did they do a concession to the fact that it was a TV comedy by rounding up the quite mournful, almost like Paul Simon type of composition, by going,
doof.
I think they did, didn't they? Suicide is painless.
I've got it on now. There's no lyrics, but yeah.
Suicide.
And also, the British version of it that was shown, they'd removed the laugh track, which is like canned laughter.
Yeah.
Which when you see repeats of it now, that is annoying. But it's like, this is a comedy, but there's no one telling you when to laugh. Mm. Which, of course, there's loads of that goes on now, comedy without laugh tracks.
Yeah.
Hey, anyway, can we just please, please get to the end of this
match? Why don't we have a laughter track on this podcast?
Well, because it would be constant, pretty much. It would drown out everything we said.
Right hassle to put in afterwards.
Yeah. So this helicopter's come down. Jimmy Slid says, helicopter coming down into the stadium. The stadium public address system blared, and here he comes, the new chairman of Melchester Rovers. Any minute now, he'll be stepping out of that helicopter. Fan shouts. Now, that's what I call an entrance. Fucking hell. And there we just see a pair of blue trousers with legs in them and a shoe coming out of the helicopter. We can't see who it is.
Doesn't he have nicely tailored trousers? Yes.
I don't believe it.
They hang on the shoe just so.
Look who it is, shouts Noel Baxter. This, says Duncan Mackay, will be the football sensation of the year.
Yeah, beauty.
And it says, don't miss seeing who it is in next week's instalment. So a big cliffhanger for us. Unless, Sam, you turn to the page, which has got Roy's message on it. Where Roy fucking reveals who it is.
Why? The whole point of this strip is to encourage people to buy it next week. Yeah. That's the whole thing. Yeah. That's that everything's been geared towards it. And then who ever heard of someone doing a spoiler on their own content?
That's what he's done.
It would be like George Lucas coming out and going, oh, so George, what Star Wars A New Hope was really great. What can we expect in the next film? Well, first thing to say is, turns out Luke's dad's Darth Vader. Next question.
Next question.
I mean, you'll have to see how it actually pans out in the film. But it's going to be really...
There's other stuff happens before that. That's near the end.
That's near the end. But it's really good.
Yeah.
I'll give you one little a little teaser, right? What happens is they have a fight with their laser swords, yeah? And he cuts... Darth Vader cuts Luke's fucking hand off, right? Cuts his hand clean off. And then he tells him, straight to his face, I'm your fucking dad, you cunt. And then after that, some other things happen, then it's over. So, yeah, you've got that to look forward to. Next question.
Out in June. Yeah. Come along, have a look.
It's going to be really good.
Well, you know, because of continuity and realistically, we are looking at this issue of Royal of the Rovers, I guess we're duty-bound to read out what he's put in this message and reveal it. So, hi, pals. Only a couple of weeks now to the start of the new season. And as usual at this time, I'm all keyed up, wondering what the next 9 months have in store for Melchester Rovers. I've had a meeting with the storyline team, and believe me, it's going to be good. He doesn't say that. We've certainly started pre-season off with a bang, with the announcement that my good friend, Jeff Boycott, has become the new club chairman.
Fuck it out.
Jeff,
I tell you what,
Boycott.
It sort of makes perfect sense that there'd be mates, though, doesn't it? Roy Race and Jeff Boycott.
Yeah.
I do not have many friends because I find people annoying encumbrances in my life and my projects and strategies. However, there are some individuals who I do regard as closer than mere associates. One of them, in fact, the only person I can truly call a friend, is, of course, Sir Jeffrey Boycott. And you'll have noticed I added the sir myself. He has not yet been knighted, but I consider that a disgrace, and that's why I have chosen to call him sir anyway.
So, yeah. What a bonus for the Rovers, he says. Let's hope we can make his appointment worthwhile by winning at least one trophy for him. Fucking hell. Jeff Boycott. So there we go. As if one arrogant boar at Melchester wasn't enough. They brought in another one. And we'll see the big reveal next week.
Wonder if there's going to be a
big
clash.
Reveal because Roy's just revealed it.
You'd imagine there would be.
I don't know. We'll see, won't we? All right, that's it. Thanks for listening. And goodbye.
Goodbye. It's bedtime.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.